This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Joaquin, a perfect ninth inning for you. You have been lights out since you've come to the Blue Jays. What's been the big difference for you from your time in Seattle?
Right now I'm getting more opportunities and meaningful games. And I guess that's one of the things that is a little different. I was pitching there, but it wasn't more in the situations like that, little pressure situations. But, I mean, I take advantage of the opportunities they give me here.
That is Joaquin Benoit in conversation with the one and only Barry Davis last night. The Jays, 5-1 winners over the Baltimore Orioles, their fourth straight win. Hello, this is Baseball Central. I'm Jeff Blair. Kevin Barker alongside me today. A lot of things to talk about as a result of last night's win. Of course, Josh Donaldson homering, Jose Bautista homering. But Kevin, I think anytime you play the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore, and you hold them to one run, you've got to start with the pitching. Now, we'll talk about Marco Estrada in a minute, but I really think we're almost obligated to talk about Joaquin Benoit. We just heard him on with Barry Davis. And Joe Biagini, who came in the eighth inning last night, a man on, struck out Nolan Reimold, induced Jonathan Scope to pop out to second base, got Kim to ground out basically three outs without the ball leaving the infield. In comes not Jason Grilli, not Roberto Osuna, but Joaquin Benoit. Mm-hmm. Strikes out Manny Machado in a changeup. Strikes out Chris Davis on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Gets Mark Trumbo to fly out to left field. One of the pitches he threw Trumbo was 96. Look, I thought when Marco Estrada came out for Joe Biagini in the eighth inning, I thought, okay, this is where the Orioles put together that big inning. One of the next two guys reaches, and you end up with either Machado or Davis up with a runner in scoring position. At that time, the score was 3-1. And you know what? Biagini, again, just shutting the door. I want to start by talking about Joe Biagini. Dan Shulman talked about how he's got that big old-fashioned curveball, that over-the-top curve that you don't often see in the game anymore. You're a hitter. Talk to me what it is about, quote, that big old-fashioned over-the-top curveball that makes it so different from a lot of other curves.
Well, most breaking balls go from right to left, left to right, that kind of thing. Has that back foot downward tilt to it. Not a lot of breaking balls are 12 to 6 because most pitchers have a tendency to hang that. They hang that breaking ball. It's a slower pitch. You can get, you know, you can have backspin on it if you're a hitter. But it's the mile-per-hour difference. So you got to remember, Biagini's throwing 96 miles an hour, and then he's flipping a breaking ball in the 70 range in any time of account. That's, you just don't see that a whole lot. And I think that's more what Dan's trying to say is it's not so much the pitch he's throwing it, it's when he's throwing it, and it's the mile-per-hour difference. Mm-hmm. You know, that's you're looking at almost 25-mile-an-hour difference. He's throwing that 0-0 in counts. He's very comfortable with it. He's throwing some cutters. And again, it's spotting that fastball up. He's coming out. We said that all the time. You know, the Blue Jays, I said this, the way you've mentioned, not giving up the big inning. Well, they walked one guy last night. Yeah. The Blue Jays is a pitching staff. When you do that to a team that likes to hit a lot of home runs, you give up solo home runs, you can deal with that.
And the one thing we know about Biagini, too, 70% of the time he throws a first pitch strike. So he's coming in throwing strikes.
Yeah, and he can do it with two pitches. He does it with the fastball, the four-seamer at 95-96, and then he flips that big 12-6 breaking ball on a guy that may be looking for it. Now, again, it has a lot to do with who's catching because he understands guys are very aggressive that time of the game. Guys are coming out of the bullpen. You want to be aggressive. So what's he do? He flips the breaking ball. He gets ahead because the guy has a lot of confidence in it. Basically, what Biagini has is a lot of confidence.
We always talk about baseball being a game of adjustments. Well, Joe Biagini has now, he's thrown, what, I think 55 in the third inning this year?
Yeah.
He's still doing what he's doing. And they got all this videotape on him, and more guys have seen him in person. but he's still having success. What is he doing? Is it just the quality of stuff, or is he on his own adapting well, as
you
well?
You got to give him a little credit. He's had a cutter. That's helping a little bit. You know, lefties, you can't always throw four-seamers away at 95. Most guys in the big leagues can hit a straight four-seam fastball. So what's he do? He adds the cutter. He gives them a little bit to straighten the left-handed hitter up so we can go right back away with the fastball. It's an adjustment. That's what you have to do at this level. It's more impressive with a guy that's who he is, where he's been in his career, which is never here. Mm-hmm. You're doing it in situations that every pitch, every game, every inning, every time you walk to the mound matters as much as it does. Well, I mean, what? I'll say this. Normally now, you can say, what? Benoit's your seventh guy. Mm-hmm. Grilly's your eighth guy, and Asuna's your ninth guy. Well, to get it to the seventh inning guy, it's Biagini now. There's no question about, you know, his where he's been or where he's going to go or any of these things. Right now, he's better than anybody else at that spot. Mm-hmm. That's your guy. He may be the guy that comes in and gets a tough lefty out. We talked about this yesterday. It may not be Brett Cecil anymore. When a guy comes out and does things like he's doing that can get lefties out by changing speeds, getting guys out on their front foot, adding that cutter, and does it with a lot of conviction and walks around the mound like he's owning the mound and he can get you out with it. How can you argue that?
Marco Estrada, I think we can say, looked more like the Marco Estrada that we saw earlier in the year.
Can you say it's normal rest or do we don't need
to
have
you know
that
what? Why don't you do
wow,
that?
You
could. I sent Gibby a text last night.
How
and
did
said,
that go?
It said, see how important it is to have a guy in normal rest. I can't say what the response was, but it wasn't.
Well, it sounded incorrect. Like he was having a conversation with Barry sometime. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Look, he looked better last night. He did what you talked about, used his fastball more. I mean, we talked about how guys were sitting on the off-speed pitch, sitting on the breaking pitch. And we saw him use that fastball a couple of times, and it was really important. Namely, that inning, he hits Matt Wieters, tries to come inside Matt Wieters, hits Matt Wieters. Pedro Alvarez helps him out. He's 3-0 when
Thank
he pops up.
Yeah.
But then he blows fastball by Jonathan Scope, elevates it.
Yeah.
Scope, you think, was sitting on a change there, right? Because that ended the inning.
You could tell the Orioles the whole game were sitting on changeup. He would flip. The difference that I saw last night was obviously fastball command. We talk about that all the time. It's very, very important at this level, especially when you throw 88. Mm-hmm. You have to locate the fastball and get ahead. It makes everything else better. We always say that. Yesterday, what I saw was in changeup counts, which would a lot, he throws his changeup to certain people. He'll double up on the changeup when he throws it for a strike or sometimes when he doesn't throw it for a ball because he wants to get the feel. He wants to get it looking to that guy so he can heat him up and elevate the fastball. In changeup counts, he would flip the breaking ball, which is very weird to me that he would do that because we haven't seen all year. That's just not a very good feel pitch for him.
Right.
He doesn't throw it a lot for strikes. For some reason, yesterday he was throwing it for strikes. He would throw it in any count. He would throw it when people were looking for the changeup. You saw Trumbo a lot of times would take that changeup like he knew it was coming because he started flipping that breaking ball to guys in front of Trumbo, and Trumbo's thinking, well, if he's flipping the breaking ball, I'm going to have to pick my poison. It's going to be one or the other,
that
I'm going to try and hit here. So, you know, I think he – obviously it's fastball command, and then that pitching sort of backwards to set the changeup up later in games with the breaking ball – he's a smart guy.
You know, I'm wondering if maybe the fact that we're now back in the American League East, and I know the Jays do go to Seattle and they do go to L.A., but by and large, they're in the American League East now for the rest of the year. Does that mean that we are going to have to see guys like Marco Estrada change some stuff up, you know, maybe pitch, show different patterns? Because you're talking about you're going to face teams – you're going to face, I mean, Marco Estrada is going to face teams multiple times the rest of the year. He's probably going to get the Orioles again.
Yeah, you just mentioned Biagini. Biagini's made that adjustment with the cutter. He's added that because people have seen him one time or two times or three times. And when they start seeing things like that, it's like even though that changeup from Estrada is that good, you still have to set it up some way. Yeah. So what do? You change eye levels. You flip the breaking ball. But we can say all we want, and I know people get tired of hearing it. It's all about fastball command. He was locating the fastball, and he was using, and I know you don't like me saying this, He was using Mr. Alan Porter, the guy standing behind home plate, behind the catcher, weakness, expanding that zone. So, you know, Russell, take your hat off to Russell. Russell would set up off the plate away. He would hit the spot. What do? You just keep going a little bit further out. Greg Zahn said the same thing. What do? You
take advantage of it.
You just keep inching away.
And in credit to Alan Porter, he was consistent.
Well, it's bad.
But he was consistent. He was calling the same pitch. There was one time. Actually, I take that back. The Edwin, the first inning he called, the third strike call on Edwin was basically the same pitch that had been called the ball before. But by and large, his strike zone was pretty consistent. Hey. Now, I'm going to say this before you. How many strikeouts were there called? There was one, two, three, four, five, six called strikeouts on Blue Jays hitters.
Yeah.
Two in the Orioles. Of the six called strikeouts, two of them were Russ Martin. So when the catcher's getting called out on strikes, you know that there's, if not an issue with the strike zone, you know it's a little funky. But everybody, Edwin got called out. Martin got called out. Upton got called out. Pilar got called out. Smoke got called out twice.
I'm going to say this. Pitchers. I'm going to say this. Miley has an ERA of almost six.
Yep.
Because his stuff's not very good.
Yeah.
And when you make a guy like that throw the ball on the plate, it gets hit hard. When you have an umpire behind the plate and you have a veteran catcher like Wieters behind the plate that says, okay, you want to give me the ball in off the plate 3 or 4 inches, we're just going to keep inching in there. We're going to keep going a little bit further in there. And it frustrates the hitter where they just start taking it. You can't hit it anyway, so why swing at it? It's that kind of thing. So, yeah, you take your hat off to a veteran catcher like Wieters, a veteran catcher like Russell Martin, taking advantage of a really big strike zone. And you also, you have to give a little bit of credit to both the pitchers. They were hitting their spots.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. That, to me, is a big win for the Blue Jays. They can win now ugly games. Last year, we didn't see ugly games. They didn't win ugly, you know, where they weren't hitting 3-run home runs all over the place. They weren't hitting 5 home runs a game. No, they can hit a couple of home runs and the umpire be ugly behind the plate and they still win that because they have good pitching. They play good defense.
Yeah, the other thing we saw, I think, yesterday too, is the importance of Melvin Upton Jr. and that speed. I mean, that fourth run, it pushed across. Pilar single, but I mean, Upton scores easily on that.
Yeah. I'm going to take it. You're a big fan of
I'm sorry,
Upton
Smoke.
Jr.
Smoke. Pardon me. Smoke single. Upton scored easily.
Well, that's the worst pitch ever been thrown to Smoke. You get.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Orioles don't watch the same games we do because the left-handed.
You're
not. Justin Smoke's not a very good fastball hitter.
No. You throw him, just fastballs.
Why would you throw him a 1-2 breaking ball when he's taking two fastballs for strikes? Yeah, you know, obviously for a Blue Jays fan, you say thank you very much, and for John Gibbons, but and also Justin Smoke because, you know, he has a big loop in his swing left-handed. Right-handed, I think that's why Gibby's starting to play him a lot against lefties.
I wanted to ask you about that because you think.
Well, yeah, because his right-handed swing, he's taller, he has better rhythm, and he stays on top of the ball basically like he's chopping wood. Down and through the baseball, that's what he has to do. Left-handed, he doesn't get off his backside as much. He sort of sits and spins. Bad head drops below his hands. When you do that, everybody throws in fastballs up. It's not, you know, it's no coincidence that's why they're doing that. So I think that's why Gibby's starting to put him in the lineup against lefties. But, you know, thank you very much. He took advantage of a bad pitch. That's what you do late in game.
We got to talk a little bit about Josh Donaldson. 3 home runs on Sunday. His home run last night. 3 of his 4 home runs have either been to dead center or just a shade to the right side of dead center. We've seen, obviously, Josh Donaldson hit a ton of home runs.
Yeah.
What tells you when you watch Josh Donaldson that he's going to have one of those games? 3 home runs, obviously. You don't expect that. But, I mean, I know the way you watch baseball enough to know that you can see a guy do something right out of the gate and think, okay, it's going to be one of those days. Or, oh, it's going to be one of those days.
Yeah, well, you can tell when guys throw when he walked against Givens. Now, Givens is a sort of a submarine, throws 95 miles an hour.
He's seeing
and
the
he
ball
took,
well.
Well, he took the slider on the 3-2 pitch. If you're not seeing the ball really well out of a guy's hand, you're not taking that. I mean, that's Givens is really really good with that ERA because of where he throws it and who he's throwing it to, and he's not afraid to throw things in certain counts. When you're taking 3-2 sliders right out of a guy's hand, like you see it right away, that's what it comes down to. And I was reading some things on a conversation that he was having about a lot of people talk about having a load when they hit. You know, they load something up. And Donaldson seems to think that he calls it a gather. Instead of a load, it's a gather. Well, now when you think of a gather, to me, it's more of a methodical, slow, precise, quiet. It's not sort of a let's pick the leg up in a hurry, get the foot down in a hurry, as quick as we can, get the bad hit out. No, it's not that with him. It's more of a slow and easy, let's lift it as slow as we can, let's get it down as slow as we can, and let's throw our hands and our backside as quick as we can at the baseball. It's that kind of thing. It's just funny, good hitters come up with terms that set them apart from other people. And that word gather sort of separates him from everybody else.
Jose Bautista's home run last night, Buck and Pat, I thought, did a terrific job breaking that down, talking about how he shortened up. And we talked about how his bat speed is back to where it was. I mean, we saw it this weekend.
Yeah.
You've got your bat speed has to be where it needs to be for you to be able to shorten up and hit a home run, don't you?
It almost hit him. I mean, the ball's like at his hip, and he's turning that around. But I will say this, the Twins all are trying to pitch every one of these guys in.
Yeah.
The Orioles, it's obvious that that's the book now, is
just try to pitch
everything in. Well, when you're a hitter, Jeff, you know, these guys are really smart guys. It basically eliminates half the plate when guys are doing that to you. So what do? You sell out, you go to the plate, you look for something with a little bit of a velo to it. Start either, what do you do? Clear the front side, clear the hips, try and pull that thing. That's what he did. He's looking for something in there. He gets it. He doesn't miss it. I understand why they're trying to pitch this team in, because, you know, you could say they're a little older and it's that time of the year where you can pitch a right-handed team in. But when you do it all the time, I mean, you look 1 through 9 in this line, they're pretty smart guys. They're going to figure it out and make the adjustment. So, you know, hats off to, I think, a team like the Blue Jays that have made an adjustment the last 4 or 5 days.
We asked a question on Twitter as well.
Thank you for that.
Well, I'll tell people the story. My producer, Travis McKenzie, had a little bit of difficulty getting a hold of Pat Tabler today. Pat Tabler's out sampling Baltimore's nightlife, I guess. What happened is the hotel they were staying at, there was no nightlife in Baltimore. I've tried it.
It's the big leagues. You can find a nightlife. Just saying.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the type of nightlife where I'm going to survive. Couldn't get a hold of Pat in the hotel.
We had Are you going to tell his?
Yes. Yeah, so anyhow, we finally did, I asked Pat, were you under a pseudonym? And, you know, he said no. And, of course, a lot of people know that baseball players, when they check into hotels, they have pseudonyms. They don't use their real name. I'd like to speak to Josh Donaldson about that at-bat in the fifth inning, okay? So, and his was Ty Williams.
Whose was?
Pat Tabler's was Ty Williams. Ty is the name of his first son. William is the middle name of his second son. So you won't tell me what your pseudonym was. And, you know, anybody as A.J. Burnett's former roommate, probably a good thing you're not. But so I asked people on Twitter for some. So what do you think Kevin Barker's pseudonym would be? Well, we got several responses. J.W. Pepper, Sheriff J.W. Pepper from Live and Let Die, James Bond. Harley Rifle.
That's a great
one. That might be the clubhouse leader.
That's a great one.
Billy Bob Winchester, Chest Rockwell.
That's awesome, too.
Chest Rockwell.
Tell some of the other ones that are not good.
Winter League.
This is a good one.
Franz Beckenbauer, because you're a Bundesliga fan. Der Kaiser, Franz Beckenbauer is one of the greatest.
I'm sort of forced into that, so I'm going to say I don't like that.
I got to be careful when I say these things, because I know, you know, how people send things in. Like, I used IP Nightly. I was being nicely... I'm just not going to mention those suggestions. Bob Barker, you know,
that's
the Price is Right.
Yeah,
Bob
Barker. He's my uncle. That's cool.
Cletus Fairbanks.
I like that too.
This might be the winner, though. I've got Cletus Fairbanks, Chest Rockwell, or Coleslaw. Now, Coleslaw, I think was pretty good. Hoss LaRue, Country Bark, Ricky Bobby, Woody Woodpecker. Those are some of them. I can't say, and some of them I won't say. But I don't know. I kind of like Coleslaw, don't you? Harley Rifle, somebody says Bevan Carker. That's got to be Wilner, right? Chest Rockwell, that's kind of good. But Harley Rifle, Chest Rockwell, Coleslaw.
Well, you might as well say pick your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll let people. What do you think my pseudonym would be? It'd be a good one.
We can't say it on the radio.
It'd be a good one. Anyhow. So there you go. I'm going to have a little fun.
I guess.
I don't need a pseudonym. Because I check in. I check in under my real name.
What is it?
I'm not telling you. It's William Jeffrey Blair. I never have to, because people call up and say, can I speak to Jeff Blair? I'm sorry we don't have Mr. Blair registered.
I will say this. One of those things you mentioned has half the name in it. Did I say that right? Yeah.
So, okay.
One of the things you just said, what you mentioned, like 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah.
One of them had one of the names in it.
So it's got to be the one with Rifle.
No.
Chest Rockwell.
That's not it.
Coleslaws. There's something going on with Coleslaw.
I wish it was Coleslaw, but no, because that's pretty good. No.
Anyhow, there you go. Just having a little fun. Got to have a little fun, right? Because
no, I will say, I'll give you this. I'll give you this, a hint.
Yeah.
I'm a big, you remember the Western Bonanza?
Yeah.
I'm a big Bonanza fan. And you can just go down one of the names and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Oh.
Look at Travis in there.
Yeah, the difference is those three clowns in there. I'm the only one who actually watched Bonanza.
Oh, I love Bonanza.
Bonanza was great. It could either be Little Joe.
No, look at me. Do I look little?
Hoss Cartwright.
There you go.
It was Hoss Cartwright. No, it wasn't. You're telling me so I can stop talking about this.
No, that's it.
Hoss Cartwright.
Yeah, I only did that twice. But
there you go.
That was it. So you got it out of me.
Candy Kennedy was the other guy that I thought it might be.
I just, you know, I was a big.
So Chest.
Nobody would ever think of that.
But
nobody,
wait a minute.
Nobody would ever call and say.
Okay. I don't believe any of the names I gave out included Hoss.
You said Hoss something.
Did I? Okay. Well, anyhow.
I'm pretty sure you did.
There you go. We're having way too much fun with this. John Gibbons, by the way, sent Mark Burley.
Yeah.
Texted Mark Burley with a note
pitch for us.
Pointing out the rosters will expand in September. Burley responded with a photo of a lake. And apparently, DeAndre Navarro, according to our Ben Nicholson Smith, also texted Mark Burley and said, hey, now that I'm, you know, with the Blue Jays, let's get the band back together again. Mm-hmm. And so there you go.
Did he send a picture of the lake to say, go play in the lake, or I'm fishing in the lake?
No, I do believe it was a picture of Burley on the lake.
Oh, even better.
I do believe it was a picture of Burley on the lake.
Yeah, he's doing all right, so I don't think he needs to come back.
Buck and Pat, I'm kind of suspicious about this. They made this little aside statement last night that suggested they might know something. We know that Aaron Sanchez, J-Hap starts today, by the way, the game is at 7 o'clock.
No, they said they didn't know.
Well, but they kind of suggested with Aaron Sanchez coming up on Wednesday that at some point Jays are going to go back to the five-man rotation. Now, you know, we know they have an off day coming up on Thursday. Where do you see this playing out? Because I really do think, I think we're going to see Liriano in the bullpen in another couple of days.
Okay, here, well, my first question would be is, how do you see Liriano in the bullpen? What's Liriano's biggest issue all year?
It's command.
First pitch fastball.
But if I tell him, stop thinking, throw a slider or a fastball.
You could tell me to do a lot of things. Probably ain't going to do it.
You're not going to give me the name of your
I just
pseudonym.
Did. I just did. You had did to not. Work for it. Well, that's one of them. The other ones, no. Anyway, what's wrong with you? I'm the train of thought here, and then you throw that at me.
Oh, five-man rotation?
Yeah. Well, the obvious choice would be that.
Yeah, because you're not going to put Dickey in the bullpen.
Well, yeah, unless you're doing something with R.A. Unless somebody doesn't want to catch him and you don't get Tolley back. Who's catching? That's another question. Who's catching R.A. Dickey?
Josh Tolley will be back. If he isn't, I'm bringing Eric Kratz up. I'm saying just fall in front of the ball. Just stop it.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to say to that. I'm going to have an issue with the Blue Jays are playing pretty well. And to just to sort of throw that off by just basically saying.
You'd like to see Russ Martin or Deonna Navarro step up and go, hey, I'll do it.
Deonna Navarro's, I don't think, can.
Yeah.
Can he?
No.
Well, there you go. So that eliminates that. So you got one guy.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Russell and basically say, help us out here. You think he's, what would you think he'd say? The reason why Tolley was on the team from the beginning of the year until now is because Russell doesn't want to catch him, period. Yeah. End of story.
Yeah.
So now you're asking him in September, hey, you're hitting well, you're playing well, you're starting to catch better, you're putting the right fingers down, you're starting to throw some people out, but now we want you to go back there and try and figure out a way to catch that.
I know what I'd do. If I was around, if John Gibbons approached Russ Martin with that, I'd grab Russ, I'd cover his mouth, I'd drag him out of the room. I don't want Russ anywhere near R.A. Dickey.
So what do you do? That's what do you do if you don't get Tolley back?
I think you're going to get Tolley back. Well, what if you don't? I think you will. Well, what if you don't?
I don't think anybody's going to take Josh Tolley.
Well, hypothetically speaking here.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know. I would probably go with you, and I'd say, you know, the rosters will have expanded by then. I'd probably go with you and say, hey, Russ, we need you to – I can't believe I'm saying that because I don't want Russ anywhere near. No, you know what? I'd go with anybody but
there's
Russ.
There's no way they would skip starts with R.A. to get to leave it as those guys, and then you just pitch R.A. when you can pitch R.A. Yeah.
No, I think, you know.
Or is he in the rotations? This is what I'm saying. What is your rotation? That's the better question.
My rotation?
What is your rotation? When
Sanchez, Hap. Not in any order. Sanchez, yep. Hap, Stroman, Estrada.
Now what?
If I have Tolley?
Yeah.
Dickey. And Liriano's in the pen.
Wow. Okay, well, obviously that would solve if he could throw strike one. Because, you know, there's nobody on the planet can hit his slider.
Yeah.
When he's throwing strike one, you can forget it. The light's out for you. Getting a hit.
You know, last night we saw Brett Cecil up. Warming up last night because you knew that Chris Davis is down there.
Well, it was 5-1 too. That's why he's loosening up.
That was actually before it was 5-1. No, it wasn't. You're right. It was 5-1.
Yeah. I'm not trying to pick on Brett Cecil. We're stating the obvious here.
Let's say this. We got another 2 days. You can still make moves in the next 2 days and have those guys eligible for the postseason roster. I still think that in the next 2 days, the Jays are going to add another left-handed pitcher. I think they're going to do that. And if that's the case, then I think you leave Liriano in the rotation. And R.A. Dickey, you pitch R.A. Dickey when you can. But if you can get another left-hander, then you leave Liriano in the rotation. I think there's a couple of things in play here beyond just simply how Aaron Sanchez looks. But with the off days, there is a chance that they can fiddle around with this a bit. Because as Pat Tabler said, if you factor the off days in, now you're asking guys to pitch six days off.
And I think Biagini's made it a lot easier for everybody.
Probably.
Thank you, Travis. He's pitching to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's pitching with a lot of confidence, getting ahead. He's getting guys out. He's getting lefties out.
We're going to take a break and come back and take a look around Major League Baseball, the American League East. We should mention the Blue Jays still 2 games up on Boston. Baltimore's now 4 back. The Yankees, they've lost 2 in a row. They lost last night. They're 7.5 back. If you look at the wild card race, Boston's 2 up in the wild card race right now. The Orioles are tied with them. That makes no sense. I'm reading the standings. That makes no sense. The Jays are 2 games up in Boston, 4 up in Baltimore. And we will take a look around Major League Baseball. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Josh goes deep once, he could have really had pretty close to another one. I mean, can you just talk about the groove that he's in right now?
Why don't you talk about it? That's your job. I just talked about him yesterday.
Okay. You want to apologize now or later?
Never apologize. Never apologize when you're right. Why would you apologize when you're right?
Ah, the witty repartee of John Gibbons and Barry Davis. The thing is, you guys all realize, everybody out there's got to realize that Gibbons gets a kick out of Barry Davis. People always presume the worst in these things. So there's a lot of back and forth with Gibby and Barry.
Well, it's pretty easy on occasion.
Yeah. Well, John's got a great sense of humor. People, honestly, I wish some of you could be in there when you're just sitting around shooting the crap with Gibbons. It's funny. Very seldom do you talk about baseball. More often than not, you're talking about politics and his view of the world. It's good fun. It's good fun. So Travis didn't get us a guest.
Yeah. It means you actually have to work.
Apparently he's found a website that has a list of the Cleveland Indians pseudonyms from a couple of years ago.
Huh.
Oh, okay, whatever. Anyhow, that's it. Thanks for the guest, Travis. Nice. Clayton Kershaw, by the way, is scheduled to throw a simulated game today. He could be activated.
Who's catching it?
Well,
man, I'm full of good questions today. All right.
Ain't going to be AJ Ellis.
Ooh.
I know that. Garrett Cole of the Pirates. This is not good. Posterior inflammation in the right elbow. He's going on the disabled list. The reason I find that kind of interesting is Garrett Cole. Something similar to Aaron Sanchez's situation with Pittsburgh, although a little different because he was a college pitcher. But the Pirates just try to manage the hell out of his innings. And they did a pretty good job, got him through the postseason. But there you go, posterior inflammation in the right elbow. And, hey, it's Tim Tebow workout day.
Mm. Yeah.
The Blue Jays are one of 20 teams that are going to watch Tim Tebow swing. Apparently, according to our friend John Paul Morosi, Tim Tebow just arrived for his showcase. He will face two right-handed pitchers during the workout today. David Aardsma, one-time Blue Jays farmhand. Well, earlier this year, he was in Ottawa. And Chad Smith. So there you go. Could be the beginning of the Tim Tebow era. Some poor city's going to get stuck with that waste of space.
Well, the Blue Jays, first and foremost, you know, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank my teammates.
Well, the Blue Jays do need a left-handed bat.
What are you doing, Travis? Oh, he's bringing me all this stuff. Instead of getting a guest. He wants me to mention that you were, oh, this is your Bundesliga picks. We should actually do this because people want to know. You predicted Bayern Munich over Werder Bremen. You got that right. You got Borussia Mönchengladbach. Gladbach.
You
got
can't
that
even
right.
Say it. How am I
Shut
supposed
up.
To say it?
You got that right over Bayer Leverkusen. You picked Borussia Dortmund and Mainz wrong, and I told you that. You could have gone. You would have been
just because you told me to. That's why I picked it.
You got Hertha Berlin over Freiburg right, and of course, because you refused to pick ties,
never
or draws. You blew Leipzig and Hoffenheim, but you're 3-1-1 after the first week of Bundesliga.
Of course I am.
After the first week of
you
Bundesliga.
You seem so surprised when you say that.
Not necessarily surprised. What do you do with Deonner Navarro? Let's get back to the topic at hand.
Oh, boy. Right to what you went.
What do you do with Deonner Navarro? I mean, I asked John Gibbons flat out. I said, I presume your plan is ultimately to have Navarro catch Marco Estrada. And he said, you presume wrong.
Oh.
So,
well, he's got to pick a guy, right? Who would it be out of the guys you just mentioned?
To catch Estrada?
Sort of a personal catcher, giving a guy a... Yeah.
I mean, it would seem to make sense that you would go with Navarro. Maybe he was just being... He could have just been flip. But I'm really interested in seeing how the catching workload gets split up. you know,
maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's going to be one of those day after night games kind of thing. You have a veteran guy that's seen this pitching staff that knows them. Doesn't really matter who he catches. It's going to be one of those things. It's just when Russell's needs a day off, that's when Russell's getting it.
I mean, ideally, you know, we always have a little fun at Josh Tolley's expense, but ideally, Josh Tolley is back on this team. Ideally, he's back on this team when the rosters expand so that he can catch our.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. Is their team better with Kratz or Tolley?
Well, I mean, Kratz, there's a chance he's – I always tell people, here's the difference. There's a chance that Eric Kratz closes his eyes, swings a bat, runs into a pitch, and it's gone. There's a chance that Josh Tolley closes his eyes, swings the bat. It may get to second base. That, to me, is the big difference between the two of them. But
– And Kratz, he could catch other pitchers.
Yeah, he's – I think, quite frankly, he's probably better.
He's got a better arm. He can stop running games.
He's better
defensively. Smart guy calling
games.
Isn't that why you brought Kratz here?
You would think
so. It's for this situation, right?
You would think so.
They sort of really kind of had this planned out a little, maybe?
I think very little has happened by accident this year with this team. I think there's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. You've talked to Shapiro just like I have. He's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, I think
he's just not doing things just to be doing them.
Right.
That's why I said maybe we see Kratz instead of Tolley. And then maybe not.
One thing we do know is Jay Happ will be starting tonight against Ubaldo Jimenez. Ubaldo Jimenez in his last two outings against the Blue Jays, he's given up 10 runs in 2 2/3 innings. He's been poo, basically.
Well, he's lost to
against
Velo.
The Blue Jays.
I faced him in winter ball. He's throwing 99. You couldn't hit him.
Yeah, he was. People forget how good this dude
99,
was.
99, I faced
just
him.
How good this dude was, and he was with Colorado, too. I mean,
He had 99 coming at you in all different directions because of his windup and that flipping that, you know, yep. Where he would drop his arm real quick and then flip. Get it back to the slot. And then he had 99 and he'd flip that slider on you. He was unhittable, basically. Now he doesn't.
Jay Happ will be on the mound tonight for the Blue Jays. And, I mean, continuing, I guess, maybe one of the most surprising seasons we've ever seen from a Blue Jays pitcher. But Jay Happ, what do you need to see in this game that you may not have seen last game?
Just don't change anything. I mean, he ran into a bad inning last time he pitched, but so what? You know, he establishes in early in the game with a four-seamer, and then he expands the plate with off-speed pitches because people have to respect the mile per hour. He's left-handed. The being left-handed helps him tremendously because he's nice and easy, quiet through his windup, and then when he gets it from the glove to the slot where he wants to throw it, it's in a hurry. And then you're seeing it when the catcher's throwing it back. Yeah. That's what he brings. And if he just keeps doing what he's doing, if, you know, the old saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There's not a lot of lefties who do what he does.
And I'll say this, you know, coming into this series and the next couple of games they're going to play on the road, it's all about not walking the other team and not striking out a lot. Well, the Blue Jays struck out 11 times last night.
Yeah.
So they're sort of going against that, but they only walked one Oriole.
Right. And they
keep
and
doing that.
Walked one Oriole and hit a batter. And you walk Trumbo. And you know what? Every now and then I'll take a walk to Mark Trumbo.
Well, they're trying
ballpark.
To make the when a guy's got 40 homers, you got to try and make a perfect pitch.
The other thing they did last night that they haven't, and I don't have all the games in front of me, but I do know Manny Machado was hitting like .389 against the Jays in his career coming into that game last night. He was 0-for-4, hit one ball hard, ball to center field, but Joaquin Benoit got him on a changeup, and that's one of the worst hacks Manny Machado's taken against the Blue Jays. What did you see the Jays do to him? Did they change their approach to him at all?
I think they're throwing off speed pitches, a lot of them. They're throwing fastballs just to show him the fastball, and it's usually up out of the strike zone. It's normally crowding him closer to him. That way, if he does pull it and hit it hard, it's foul. And then they go right back to something off speed, flipping it. Now, let's remember, he's a great hitter. He's a great hitter for a reason because he makes adjustments quicker than everybody else. But you're trying to figure out ways just to put it in the back of his mind that, you know, this is what we're going to try and do to you. But Estrada's a different pitcher than Happ is. Happ's not that kind of guy. Happ's 100% fastball guy and flipping a breaking ball on occasion for show out of the strike zone to go right back to the fastball. So, you know, you have to pitch to your strength. And to me, it gets down to stay out of the beginning. I'm with you. And you do that by not walking guys. If they string together three or four hits in a row and then run into one, tip your hat to them. But if you walk a couple of guys and then they run into one, that's one thing that you just can't. You can't tolerate that. Mm-hmm. This time of the year on the road. And this is where veteran, confidence comes into. And this rotation is very confident. This pitching staff is very, very confident.
Well, and I would think, too, with the Orioles, I mean, we saw last night, look, these guys are smart. They know that the Orioles know that the starting rotation is scuffling. And I think we saw some signs of that pressing last night. Again, I get back to that at bat. Pedro Alvarez popping up on a 3-0 pitch. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this is where Estrada might be losing it. This is where, and Pedro Alvarez just helped him out.
And, you know,
he basically let him off the hook.
Well, the other side of that may say that the Orioles thought that Estrada was that good and that may be the best pitch he sees in that bat.
Mm.
So he's looking at it a couple different ways. Yeah, he may have helped him out, but, you know, the way Estrada was pinpoint control with three different pitches and elevating that cutter up and into left-handers, when he's going like that, you know, you no matter what the count, if you think you are going to get a good pitch to hit, and maybe that's what they were doing.
By the way, we should mention this. Michael Saunders wasn't in the lineup last night. Just taking a look at his numbers against Ubaldo Jimenez. 7-for-16 with three bombs. So you may see Michael Saunders in the lineup tonight against Ubaldo Jimenez. I would think you'd have to. I mean, I would think that's a tailor-made.
Well, he's right-handed, and Saunders left-handed. That would be the first. And you know as well as I do, Gibby's scrolling down his phone just like you are right there, going, that's pretty good. Let's put him in a cleanup spot.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of their numbers. I'm looking at some of their numbers against Jay Happ. Steve Pierce, who's hurt. Has the best numbers against
Jay
Happ
of anybody.
Yeah, that's
a big loss for the Orioles.
Well, he's a guy who always seems to be in the middle of things, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He always seems
he's
to be
one of those guys,
of
right?
God, he's got four home runs against
Happ. Yeah, he does. He's a guesser.
Yeah.
When guys guess and they go up and they're selling out guessing, whether it's location, pitch, you know, you get it. That's sometimes you got to do that. The Blue Jays got a lot of guessers on their team.
Mm-hmm.
You see Batista, he's a guesser. Donaldson's a big guesser. Yeah, there's – you see pitches that he hits in certain places – And you're scratching your head going, there's no chance he's hitting that normally. Well, he's guessing. He's looking for it. He's selling out for it. And just so happens he got it. Great hitters can do that. I couldn't do that. I had to look fastball and adjust everything else because my lower half, what my feet were doing, weren't good enough that everything else would fall in line. So Donaldson is. Edwin's a big guesser too. You see when Edwin – faces a guy he's never faced before.
He does.
It's like mental. It's like something's going on in his mind and going, I got no chance. You know, he's going everybody that has a piece of paper that says, what's this guy throwing 1-1 and 2-1 and 3-1 and 0-1? And
then
he's a big guesser. He picks out certain counts, certain times of the game where he's going to go up and sell out. I'll say this. He hits a lot. Those two guys hit a lot of breaking balls later in games, early in counts. Because they're guessing. They're looking for it. They're selling out for it. It's big parts of game. They say, well, guy on first base, two outs, he's probably not going to throw me a changeup or a fastball. I'm just going to absolutely sell out. And if I see another pitch, I'm going to take it. I couldn't do that, Jeff.
That's why you're here with me.
Well, yeah. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that confidence.
No, it's confidence. It's confidence. It's confidence. I'm just making the point. So that's it for us today. Jays, 19 games over 500.
That's pretty good, right?
Yep. They've won four straight games, obviously. They've outscored their opponents 37-22.
Real quick.
They won five straight games for the first time since they won seven in a row from July 2nd.
Real quick, before you go, I'm going to answer. Who's your MVP besides Edwin, Josh Donaldson? Who will be your MVP? Quick.
Russ Martin.
Troy Tulowitzki. Good pick.
Whose pick is good? Mine or
yours? Both.
Oh.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. Now I have to think about it.
Troy Tulowitzki, quarterback. Every team needs a quarterback. Making sure everybody's in the right spot. Yeah. Time out. Throw this guy this. We'll get this guy out. We'll go in and win a game. Ha!
Josh Donaldson's my MVP.
Of course he is, but I'm saying somebody other than those two guys.
All right.
That's the obvious pick, and I know that's who you usually pick.
Yep.
Is the obvious guy.
What?
That's what it is.
For
Bryce Harper.
Kevin Barker and our 12:35 guest. He who shall remain nameless. I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Central. We'll be back tomorrow.